Good morning, and let's go ahead and get started with our lesson on Philippians. We are at the bottom of lesson 12. I didn't get to finish it last week. And with verse 9, it ends the lesson 12. And we'll be on lesson 13, which I don't know if I'll be able to finish the book of Philippians today, or if not, we'll go into next week, and then we'll be going into the book of Jonah after that. But it was a blessing studying the book of Philippians. And if it didn't make a change in our lives, I don't know what else is going to make a change, because God gives us his word to benefit us and to make a difference in our lives, in the lives of others. Okay? Philippians 4:9. It says, and I am all over the place here, bear with me. Philippians 4:9, and with this we will be finishing lesson 12. Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned, studied, and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Okay? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask your guidance. May you speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Father, if we have anything in our minds right now, there's concerns maybe at the house or bills or whatever other things. May we set it aside, Lord, so that we can meditate on what you have for us today, Lord. And Father, thank you for this peace of heaven here on Harvest at Harvest Baptist, where your people can gather and worship your name. Father, our goal, our primary reason to be here is to give you honor and glory. Second is for us as Christians to have fellowship with one another. And the third is for us to be the light unto the lost world around us, Lord. Be with us this morning, and may we receive a blessing, and may we use it for your honor and glory. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. See, as we read that verse, it is not enough to hear or read the Word of God, or even to know it well, okay? We must also put it into practice. See, how easy it is to listen to a sermon and forget what the preacher said. So easy. A lot of times, it's a good message, and then we go, and what was the message about? We need to put it into practice, okay? We're not going to remember everything, but you know what? There was a verse or something that was said that will bring you back to what was said. How easy it is to read the Bible and not think about how to live differently. How easy it is to debate what a passage means and not live out that meaning. See, exposure to God's word is not enough. It must lead us to obedience. And that's why he's saying here, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, then he says, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That God that gave you peace when you received Christ. And remember, we said that the only way you can have peace is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you cannot have peace even though you're saved if the Word of God does not lead you to an obedient life with Him. Okay? So that's what lesson 12 was about. And the theme, the key verse of all this book, every verse is important. But the key verse of this is Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Under what circumstances, if everything is going good, we praise the Lord. What about when things are going wrong in our lives? Under those circumstances, as Job said, the Lord give us, the Lord take us, to him be the glory. If we are anchored in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what happens, our goal is heaven. Okay? So now we're going into lesson 13. Philippians 4:10-19. I don't know how far I will get because I like to look at every word and get the details of what it's saying so that I can give it to you. Because that's what God gave me, and I want to give you what God gave me to the edification of his glory. So, now we go. The lesson of today's, the title of today's lesson is Learning Contentment. See, when you get saved, it's not a gift that you automatically are content. Yes, I'm happy because I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But just like I wasn't born and riding a bike, I had to learn how to ride a bike. I had to learn how to drive a car. So contentment comes with learning under the circumstances of our lives. So now we go into verse 10, and it says, but I rejoice. This is, remember, Paul is writing this letter, and somebody's writing it for him. Remember, he had problems with his eyes or whatever, but somebody's writing it for him, and it's like me saying something and one of you writing it down, and then you give, okay, here's what you wrote, and then sent the letter out. So Paul is in prison, and he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. It's amazing. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last, finally, your care or your concern for me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. See, in 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to read everything, but you can write it down. 1 Corinthians 9, 11 through 18. And I'll be going there in a little bit. See, Paul earlier, see, the Corinthian church, they were saved, but they were very carnal. And anything they would do, most of them was carnally. They thought that they could do work here at the church. Okay, how much are you going to pay me? With that attitude. So Paul, when he is writing to the Corinthians, he did not want to take the offering from the Corinthians because of their attitude. Paul didn't want them to think that he was going to go preach just to get paid. Okay? So Paul wrote, okay, that he didn't accept the gift from the Corinthian church because he didn't want to be accused of preaching only to get money. But Paul, let's go right there, but Paul maintained that it was the church's responsibility to support the minister, the pastor. It's our responsibility. I've seen churches where the pastor comes and has a second job. Well, you know what? People say, well, he doesn't do nothing. They're just there. You know what? Just like you and I, when we used to go to work, get up at 8 or whatever, 8 to 5, and we're working, the pastor is working every day in studying the Word of God. Okay? So that when he comes here, or up there. Wow, how did he do that message? It was the preparation of his message, letting the Holy Spirit guide him. Lord, what is it that you have for your people? But before you can speak to your people, you have to speak to me that I may give your word in a humble way to glorify your name and not to be, oh, did you hear how I preached last night? Or no, it's for his honor and glory. The preacher is just a tool to get God's word out. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians 9, and you can read that in your house. I just have so much information, but 1 Corinthians 9, 11 through 18. But in verse 14, see, even though Paul didn't want to get their offerings because they weren't doing it with a willing heart, here he comes. He's going to preach and he's going to want us to pay him. Of course, he needed money. And so he says in verse 14, even so has the Lord ordained they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel, the offerings. That's what they're for, to pay the building, the bills and everything, and to pay our pastor. Shame on us if our pastor has to go get a second job because we're not willing to give what the Lord has given us, okay? Now, if the pastor that's getting paid, if he's getting paid well, and then, well, you know what, I want a bigger house, I want a Corvette, and well, that's going to be up to him, but the majority of the pastors are very humble people, okay? And if you give them enough, whether you don't, because God has called them, they don't complain. They don't. But it's and that's what Paul was saying. And in the contrast with the church of Philippi, the Philippians, when Paul went to preach to them and they accepted the Lord, and now it's been about 10 or so years that now he's in prison. But look at their attitude, okay? He accepted the Philippians' gift because they gave it willingly and because he was in need. Remember, he's writing, he's in prison right now, okay? And 11 and 12, okay, Philippians 4, 11, and 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. I know both how to be abased. This word is to live in a humble way. Okay? And I know how to abound. To be in control when he had more than enough. You know, I've learned to humble myself. Remember, he was a Pharisee and he was well known and he had everything. He knew a lot of people. And yet he was a very humble person. He was very strong in the way he would tell you things, but he was a very humble person. And so he said, I know how to live when I have, but he never boasted of what he had. And when he went through trials, he didn't murmur against God. He said, Lord, you have sent me and you're going to take care of me. God will take care of you and me. Okay? So he says, let me go on verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Are you and I satisfied? Are we content? Let me tell you a little story of a man that was stranded in an island for 12 years. 12 years. Remind me of Castaway. I don't know how many saw that movie. Talking to Mr. Wilson, that ball. 12 years. Not talk. You know what? I can't go a day without not talking to someone. I need to talk to somebody, or I need to listen to somebody talking. But this man was stranded for 12 whole years, and once in a while he would see a plane. Hey, over here, help, help. And he would do everything, and help, I'm over here, please. And the plane would go. Disappear. He would bow back, and he did that so many times that one day, after 12 years, there's another plane going by. Help! Help me! The plane passed by, but the pilot saw him, and so the pilot radioed in. There's a man stranded in that little island. In about 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours, a helicopter from the Coast Guard landed. Well, the man saw that helicopter. He was jumping for joy. Thank you, kissing the ground. And saw the pilot, and he would hug him and say, thank you for saving me. Thank you so much. And the pilot said, no problem, that's my job. And he said, let's get you and the others ready to go home. And the man looked at the pilot, others, there's no others. I've walked this island, every inch of this island. There's no other. It's only me. And so the pilot said, okay. Well, if you're the only one, he said, can you explain to me why there's three huts over there? And the man said, well, that's easy. The first one, they said, that one, see that one over there? Yeah, that's my house. That's where I've lived for 12 years. So the man said, well, that's good. So what's the second for? And he said, well, that's my church. That's where I go to church for 12 years. I said, well, that's very interesting, said the man. So what's the third one for? And the man says, oh, that's the church that I used to go to. See, he wasn't content. And let me tell you, we laugh about it. We laugh about it, but do you know there's people that if they were the only person here at church, they would find something to complain and move on to another church. We are not here, you know, and we're different. This is what Paul was telling them. Yes, you're different. I'm different. I have different desires. I have different things in my mind. I do things different than you, but we can work together. Can you imagine if we come just because, you know what, the pastor took a minute too long. I'm going to another church. If you would hear what pastors, missionaries, evangelists, not so much because they preach and they go, but pastors have to stick to the flock. But it's amazing how people are never content. I've heard of people say, I'm going to buy me the biggest house. And finally they get there. And now they get to our age 60. I'm going to be 65 and over. And you know what they start doing with that big old mansion? They start downsizing. What happened to that big old mansion? They're never satisfied. I hear women saying, oh, I wish I had straight hair like that woman over there. And the woman with curly hair is saying, I wish I had straight hair. I wish I had long hair like her. I wish I had short hair. And we're never content. So in Hebrews, see, God commands the child of God to be content. God wants you to, but you need to learn it in the process of living your life. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be what? Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And in 2 Timothy 6:6-10, and bear with me here. I'm going to try to read it without it moving everywhere. It said, but godliness with contentment is great gain for us as Christians. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. What are you going to take when you die? People accumulate money. I remember this millionaire in that little town that we grew up, Mike Morris. Everything you would see, Mike Morris, the fields, Mike Morris, everything, Mike Morris. He was a millionaire, had a big old house. The man died. And the house that he had, I don't know what happened, but now it's an empty lot. They knocked it down, and there's nothing there. And all that money that he had, he didn't take a single penny out of it. So what is going to make us happy here on earth as Christians? When we start comparing with others, we need to be very careful. See how sad. You know, and we hear stories like this. We as God's people need to be very careful, because when we lose sight, I'm going to go off a little bit there. You know what? My brothers, my sisters, they all had their homes, and I had a piece of property. And when I was truck driving, I told the manager, that big old trailer over there, who lives in there? And my manager told me it belonged to a manager that was here. He moved and he left it there. And it was a 3-bedroom mobile home. It's about 65 to 72 feet long, about 12 or 14 feet wide. And he said, I told him, how much do they want for it? Can I go see? Oh, sure. He said, at night when you go and drop a load, just you can stop by with your truck with the headlights and you can see the back door's open. So I went in there and had a 3-bedroom, a living room, a kitchen. He had a washer and dryer. It had 2 bathrooms, a real nice mobile home. So I said, if I give you a down payment, will you save it for me? He said, you know what? Just give me $3,000. You could have it. And so I gave him $3,000. I said, but because I'm truck driving and I don't have time, can I leave it there until I get back on my feet? He said, you can leave it there up to a year as long as you don't live in it. And so I said, all right. And so I finally paid $1,000, hauled it to Texas, and put it in my piece of property that I had. And I was very happy with my home. Oh, this is a big house. And then I started looking around at my brother's houses. Guess what? The flesh kicked in. Why don't I have a house like them? When I was asking the Lord to give me that, to me that was a mansion. But because I started looking around just like, I wish I had straight hair. I wish. We need to be very careful to be content with what we have. Whether you have a lot of money, whether you have a little, are you happy? Are you satisfied? And are you thankful to God? This is what Paul was trying to tell them. Be very careful. And so, in verse 11, we see the providence of God. Not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am to be content. And then we go to verse 12 and 13, they go together. We see the unfailing power of God. God never fails. Okay? And so, in verse 12 and 13, it says, I know both to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Okay? And so let me, Hebrews, this is throwing me a little bit off, but I'll get it. In Hebrews, and I lost my, place here. Oh, I'm sorry. Hebrews 13:5. And I have lost. If somebody can read that, please. Here I am. Okay, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then in verse 6, this is what we were reading. I'm sorry, I went back. But godliness without contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and the snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, here is, it's, we need to be, we need money, but we need to be very careful. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which was some coveted after they had erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And we need to be very careful there. So now we go to verse 13 and 14. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Okay? And Job said in Job 42:2, I know that thou canst do everything. And in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Okay? The unfailing power of God. It says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did among 13 and 14. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with me with my afflictions. See, Paul's in prison, and remember the man at Epaphras, or what was his name, that was the one that would carry the offerings and everything for him. But he says, the Philippian church shared in Paul's financial support while he was in prison. And so now we go to verse 16 and 17. Oh, I'm sorry, 15 and 16. I have my notes all. Oh, 15 and 17. Look at what it's saying here. We see God's promises cover material deficiencies. Now, ye Philippians, on verse 15 and 16. Now, ye Philippians, oh, I've gone over. We're going to stop there on Philippians 4, 15 and 16, and we will see God's promises to cover material deficiency. We're going to stop there. I was trying to finish it. It's not going to happen. But God willing, next week we'll finish, and then we'll go into the book of Jonah. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll stop there. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we have learned a lot about the book of Philippians, Lord. How you blessed those people back then, how you bless us now. And Father, help us to be content with what we have. Help us not to look around. If our lot fell that we are sick, then let us glorify you, Lord. If our lot fell that we are in good health and have money, let us give you the honor and glory. Let us not boast about nothing. And Father, give us a spirit that will serve you and not a spirit that will draw us to the flesh, Lord. Rebuke Satan and his demons from around our lives. And Father, may your Holy Spirit be the one in control of our lives. Help us to be satisfied in every situation that we find ourselves. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. Thank you.